Well, New Year is a time of lists and planning. You're kind of picking the theme up. You know, Andy mentions it, and then Michelle mentions it, and I'm going to mention it as well, because it's that kind of time of year. And it is the time of lists. Who's got lists for the new year? Oh, really? Is that all? Right, put your hands down. For those who didn't put your hands up, a bit of father advice. Now I'm 47 and senior. I want to encourage, I'm not really that senior, too daft to be senior, but I want to encourage you all to make some lists. Honestly, lists will help you achieve things. If you plan to achieve nothing, you'll probably achieve everything you've planned, which is nothing. And if you hear nothing else from this, scrap the rest of the message. It's brilliant because I wrote it. But scrap the rest. Just remember this one thing. Go home and write some lists. The start of every year, I write at least three lists. Do you want to hear my three lists? I'm not going to tell you. The first list, right, is my personal resolution list. And I won't mention it this year because if I miss, it'd be too embarrassing. So I'm not going to mention this. Apart from that, I'm going to change one. Jason Street stood up this morning and he'd somehow got online, you know, and found out the most popular resolutions. Number 8 of personal New Year resolutions is helping other people to succeed. I thought that's got to go at the top of my list. So I've now removed my top one. And it's now going to be number 2. I'm going to put that number. I just think that's what an amazing resolution. Personally, say, I am personally, not generally or corporately or hopefully, I'm personally going to help people achieve their dreams, help them to succeed. And I think that's brilliant. So that's going to put the promise. We also make, Michelle and I make a things to do list for the house. Do you do that? I think you've got houses. It's quite long, is ours, because Michelle makes it. And then I have to do it. That's the way it works in our household. And as any other households like that, my wife makes a list and she goes, there you go, dear, there's your, that's not quite, that's a bit harsh, wasn't it? But some like DIY, some pet projects. We're hoping to build a drive this year. So if you come to our house by the end of the year, all being well, you'll be able to park on our drive if it's not full of cars already and do some other bits and pieces. That list also has things to finish from last year and the year before that, And then our third list is our fun list. It's where should we go and visit this year? Our holiday destination list. And this is, we don't tend to write this down, but we talk about it a lot. And because I really enjoy talking, because I love exploring new places. And every year we kind of think, well, where should we go and explore this year? And we have a few in our holiday destination list. But I really believe in lists, honestly, being organized and planning, because I really think as you do that, you actually achieve something. Now, you won't be surprised to hear that the Bible has lots of lists as well. And you guys who read the Bible really love the lists. Who loves the lists of names? Me and Dad and Andy and Dave slightly. Heavily skewed in the Carters there, I think. And I love the lists in the Bible, surprisingly enough. I did the list of names, the families, of the genealogies, the list of kings. They're all fascinating. They are fascinating. Honestly, they are, Vicky. They're fascinating. Honestly. And Nikki, I'm sure you shook your head as well. No, you didn't. They're fascinating. It has lists about, you know, the sacrifice gift list from the 12 tribes. The first tribe brought 2 oxen, a cart, a big thing, so many rams, so many goats, so many whatever. Then the next tribe brings the same thing, and then the next, you know, and you've read those lists. Now, they're more boring, because after you've read the first tribe, you've read them all. You're not supposed to skip them. You're supposed to read them all in detail. Read the name, then skip the rest of it. There's a list of nations. There's a list of 10 commandments. Do you want a quiz? What's the 7th commandment? Do not. It's one of those. Brilliant. Yes, don't ask questions I don't know the answer for. That's the one. The New Testament has lists as well. It has various lists of spiritual gifts, gifts that God's give us as Christians, which are really fun. It also has a list of the fruits of the Spirit, kind of characteristics that we should be showing as Christians. And tonight, if I have time, I want to have look at two particular lists, which I really, really want you to write down. So has everybody got a piece of paper, a pen, or a phone, or something to write on? You can put go on your phone, put notes. whether I was praying, what I want to do, if I can't try and do it all tonight, if not, I might drift over into next Sunday morning. I want to put some things in your life and in my life which will help you to succeed this year. I'm desperate for us as a people, as individuals and corporate, that we may succeed. We may truly become more of everything that God has made us to be. And we'll truly enter into this blessed future that God has for us. We'll become more productive, more effective, more who we are supposed to be. And these two lists in the Bible, I believe with all my heart, will help us to do that. I've said before, I've never met an individual ever who says, yeah, I want to fail in life. You just don't, people don't say, yeah, I just want to mess up in life. I want my life to be a disaster. I want it all to go horribly wrong. Everybody wants to succeed. Everybody wants to achieve something, do something there. Their life to have meaning and purpose, both in the tough times, in the good times. They just do. And these two particular lists, I believe, will help all of us achieve that. For some of you, one list will be more relevant than the other. But I want to assure you that both lists will be incredibly important for you at some stage this year. At some stage, if you write this down, you'll go like, I am so glad I made some notes on this because I'm going to go back to my notes now. I'm going to read it and go like, that is so helpful today where I am. And even if it's not, it will definitely be helpful for somebody who you love, somebody who you cherish, somebody who perhaps you're now going to put at the top of your list of, I want to help them to succeed. You'll say, hold on a minute. You'll get your phone out. You'll have a look. You'll press the whatever you're going to call the sermon for today. 3rd of January PM is what I would put because I'm boring that way. But you can put what you want. And you go, just hold on a minute. You go, right, I have some helpful things here which I believe will truly help your life. And if they're not a Christian, don't tell them they're not, that they're from the Bible. Just tell them to do them, because they'll work anyway, because that's the way the Bible works, because God is interested in helping us have a successful life. And that's what the Bible's for. Obviously, it includes a lot of God stuff, but all the instructions to help us to win in life. And so you can use them, even if you're not Christians, if they follow them, it just works. Am I kind of setting this up right? I really want to encourage you to take notes. I have a shorter list for when things are tough. Some of you are going through tough things right this moment. Illness, perhaps there's death in the family, relationship issues. And you're sat there going, you've got to listen to me in my tough time. This is my list for the moment. And you're going to write this down and go, right, this is something that I need to kind of put in my life, put in my kind of head, and act out for the next few days, weeks, months, until I come out the other side. For others of you, you need to just store this in. Because, well, life just throws curveballs at us all the time. We have no idea what's going to happen next week, next month, the end of the year, whatever's going to happen. And at some point, all of us will need this list, straight from Scripture, of things that we need to hear from God. So when these things happen, we go, know what to do. Where's that list? Get my list out. This is what I need to do now. This will help me to succeed and prosper and go forward in this time, even though it's horrible and it's stinky. And then I have a longer list. This is the one I might not finish. When times are good. It's actually a list you can use in bad times and good times, but it's particularly useful in times are good, I think. It's a longer list. Some of the theologians call it the ladder of faith. As you know, your Bibles really well might know which list I'm talking about. And it's a really amazing list to help us grow and develop as Christians in the normal, everyday life. You see, people who follow Christ don't follow the world. And these two lists are lists from heaven to us. Rick read it out this morning. We're going to read it out again tonight. Jesus says this about himself and about us in John chapter 15. He says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. If you're a Christ follower, you're no longer in the world following the world patterns. You are now in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and God calls you to follow those patterns because they're healthy and they'll help you to succeed in life. And we are called as Christians to follow what God has called us to do, to follow a heavenly point of view rather than a worldly point of view. And I want to say that it might not always be easy to follow these lists, but it will be incredibly successful and worth it. I was thinking about this. It's a bit like my personal resolution list. If only I could follow it perfectly, I would be brilliant by the end of every year. Anybody else feel like with their lists? And because I always go for, you know, lose 5 stone, run a marathon, and do all these things, and I kind of get partway. And the final thing I want to say before I get into this is this. Sometimes I think that when the Bible says something, we go, I want to do that as long as I don't need to do anything about it. But these lists will, if they're going to be successful in your life, you will have to take, this is the word, personal responsibility to implement them. Nobody else can do it for you. I've met too many Christians who somehow want other people, God or other Christians or pastors or leaders or somebody somewhere to help them become the person that God has called them to be. But I just want to say in this first Sunday of this year, that's not the way life works. God is calling you and he's going to strengthen you, and I'm going to show you scripture in a bit that God's going to strengthen you to help you become the person that God wants you to be. He wants you to succeed. There's only one person you need in your life to fulfill what God calls you to do, and that's God himself. You don't need anybody else. Just you and God is enough to be totally successful in life. Is that okay? Right, you ready? So, list number one, which I am going to call a list to work through in hardship. A list to work through in hardship. All of us go through tough times. All of us have been through illness. Well, most of us have been through illness. We've lost people close to us, people that we love. And we've had relationship issues. All sorts of things go wrong in our lives that we have to work our way through. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, the writer of Romans, Paul, gives us a list. Are you ready? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 to 11 quickly. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. And here comes the list. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we're still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, perhaps somebody might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more have we been reconciled, I know that we're his friends, his sons and his daughters, how much more shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Right, I was going to use a whiteboard. You'll be happy to know we're not going to use a whiteboard. So irregulars, no whiteboard. I'm sorry. We're going to use a screen behind us. It's a bit of an experiment, but it's going to be fine because our tech guys are marvelous and amazing. So if you could punch a slide up behind me, whoever's been tasked to do it for me. Is that the slide? Okay. Just in case you don't know, I can see it up there on the screen while you can see it behind me. And what I need to put at the top is foundational principles. Can you type that up? Come on, Steve, you can do it. Foundational principles. So the two lists I'm going to talk about have some foundational principles behind them. So this isn't your list. This is a pre-list. So this is the pre-list. Foundational. Paul says in this passage that there's some things we need to be aware of before we read his list. The first one is this, that we need to know that we have been justified through faith. Justified through faith. If you don't quite get it, Stephen, just wave at me and I will reiterate. Justified through faith. If we are going to access all that God has for us, we know it's accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross, the love that God has for us, and we do that through faith, by just believing and accepting this gift that God has. And he'll come up at the end to kind of unpack this a bit more, because I don't have time at this moment. He will unpack what that looks like and how you walk into that faith and have that faith, that first step of life. Paul also goes on to say that this faith
accesses grace. It accesses grace. Verse 2, he says that through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. Grace is God's undeserved, unmerited, unlimited favor. This is what grace is. This grace means that God is for you. He wants you to succeed. He's a dad that says, I love you. I've saved you and called you into relationship. And now I want to pour stuff into your life. Because that's what grace is. And Paul says, in this passage, says, it's on this grace that I stand. I'm going to stand on this belief and knowledge that God's unlimited grace, undeserved favor is going to pour into my life because God is God. It's not dependent on me. I just stand on it. Or for me, I like thinking about living in it, this grace that surrounds all of me. And if you're going to truly access these lists, I'm going to use properly, you need to realize that you're in God's favor. Not because you deserve it, just because God wants to give it you. And then Paul goes on to say, therefore we can rejoice in hope and in suffering. We can rejoice in hope and in suffering. He says we rejoice in the hope of the Lord God, not only sigh, but we also rejoice in our suffering. It's a foundational truth that if you're standing and living in the grace of God, your whole life can be a rejoicing. Those of you who know your Bibles well know that Romans 8:28 says that God works for good everything for those who love him. Not some things, but everything. And this is in Paul's mind. Romans 8:28 is in Paul's mind when he writes this. And he goes, I can rejoice in suffering because I know God's going to do something amazing in it, in my life and in the world. It's going to be cool. I can't wait for suffering. He doesn't say that. He's not saying, praise the Lord, I love suffering. I love being shipwrecked and beaten. He's not saying that. Okay, he's not a, is it sadist, sadistic person? He's not like that. So he's not saying, I'm going to rejoice because of suffering, but I can rejoice in it. You see the difference? He's not saying, yeah, suffering, yay, great, can't wait. Because that would be stupid. And I'd be going like, really? I mean, I've been through hard times. I don't think you go, yippee. But you can rejoice in them. You can rejoice in them. You can live a victorious life in them. You can accept it and say, I'm going to walk my way through this rejoicing, knowing that the fruit of it is actually going to be worth going through it. You know, and I've been through a few tough times. Michelle's been through a tough times financially, health-wise and stuff. They were horrible. And I don't want to go, hey, let's go back and do them again. But the fruit of it, I'm going like, well, it was horrible, but I rejoice in it. For what it's done in my life and in my heart, in my soul, in my relationship with God. People say, hey, you seem to have a really solid faith in God. Yes, through the tough times, through the hard times when God came through, despite circumstances being pretty rubbish, and seeing the results and the change, the heart change in my life. And you can rejoice in it because you know that the fruit of it is worth going through the middle of it. Now, can you save that file for me, Steve? We're going to add two more points in a bit. Go on to slide number 2. So let's have a look at this list. This list to help us walk through hardship. To help us walk through hardship. I want to begin this list with the word... Are you just catching up? Yeah. With the word rejoice. I think that suffering, that Paul begins this list of how to walk through suffering, through hardship, with the word rejoice. And I think this needs to be the first decision that we come to in our list when we go through suffering. I'm not going to rejoice in the suffering bit, but I'm going to rejoice internally in it. And I think if we're going to succeed in the hard times, we need to make a decision that we're still in the grace of God. God still has an amazing future. He's going to use all this rubbish for good, and I'm going to rejoice in it because of that. And that becomes the starting point, the belief point of faith in God, faith in the grace of God. That becomes our launching pad into the hardship of life. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I don't think any of you are going like, yes, that'd be simple. I'll just kind of go, yippee! You know, something's happened to me. Now, I'm not saying that. But you can decide in your heart, I'm going to be determined the best I can to rejoice in the outcome of this, in the result of this, in what God's going to do, that I'm still in grace, I'm still saved, I've still got an amazing future. I can still rejoice in all those things despite what's going on. And that's what Paul did when he was beaten and shipwrecked and stoned and all these things. He didn't enjoy them, but he says, I'm going to rejoice because this is doing something amazing in my life. I'm going to rejoice in that going through. The second thing that then I think is in this list that Paul talks about is that our sufferings produce perseverance. I haven't got time to look it up, but Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5 and 6 talk about doing the right thing at the right time in the right way. Can I suggest that's perseverance? Doing the right thing. Actually, you can put number one at rejoice and number two on suffering produces perseverance. Is that all right, Steve? The right thing at the right time in the right way. That, to me, is perseverance. I don't know about you, when I'm in a tough hole, I don't want to think about the whole thing. I don't think about the whole thing. I don't look at the whole thing, the whole shebang, what it means. What I want to concentrate on is doing the right thing right now. That's what perseverance is about. It's about, in this moment, I'm going to do this right thing in at this time, this right time, and I'm going to do it in the right way. And I'm going to put a series of those together in my life. At this moment, I'm going to do the right thing in the right way. At the next moment, I'm going to do the right thing. And I'm going to persevere moment. Because sometimes, in some situations, that is all that we can do. We can't look ahead to tomorrow or next week or the month after and go, you know, that's too big a thing. But God says, I'll give you enough strength to do the right thing now. And then in the next moment, I'll give you enough strength to do. Don't worry about the future. God says, I've got that covered just now. And that's what perseverance is, me just continuing. Right thing, right time. Right thing, right time. And that should be the second thing in your list when times are tough as you work through. The third thing is about producing. It says perseverance produces character. What's character? Well, character is being the best you that you can be. And that's what happens. If you persevere, what happens is you build who you are into the person that you were always created to be. You do it one step at a time. It is actually the fruit, the good thing that's happening to you through the trial, through the hardship. It's this building of character. It begins with rejoicing, knowing who you are in Christ, this perseverance, and that leads into character. And that's the third thing on the list. You say, I'm going to build character. Perhaps you're going to say, there's some particular weak areas in my life. I'm going to build those things. You might even have enough headspace, enough kind of there. Now you've got this list going, yeah, I'm persevering. And what's kind of one of my weak areas of life? Perhaps God's trying to help that. I'll do an extra special little push in that area to gain everything I can gain out of this thing as I rejoice in all that God has done through. And then this character leads to hope. It leads to hope. Because what happens is you start by rejoicing, you do the perseverance, you start building character, you look back, and what do? I'm doing quite good. Aren't I a star? Aren't I brilliant? And your soul goes, ah, wow, I can do this. That is called hope. And the thing is, as soon as hope begins to spring in any situation, the end is nigh. And see, for some of you, in hardship, you don't begin with a decision to rejoice, so you never begin the list. And so persevering is pretty hard because you're not rejoicing. You kind of, every step's painful and hard because you're grumpy and woo. And you never really develop character because you still haven't rejoiced yet. So you're actually, what you're developing is grumpiness and sarcasm and all the other things that don't build character. And one thing, we never get to hope, which is where you're aiming to get to. That's how God produces hope. Me and Shell believe that God can financially provide every need. Why? Because we've been through financial issues where, to be honest, we were broke. We had nothing left. I'd even sold my sheep. I'd sold my sheep. It was that desperate. I'd sold my Suffolks, which I bought as a teenager. I'd sold them all. They'd all gone. Probably for chops, actually. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to ruin the whole point of the story here. But the point is, in those moments where I'll still rejoice in where I am, I'm going to still do the right thing and say the right thing. I'm going to believe this is going to help me. And then hope arrives. God arrives. You go forward and go like, wow, I've learned so much. I've grown so much. I am so much more who I'm supposed to be as a child of God, who I'm supposed to be. You see, it leads to hope, and hope builds in your life as you follow the list. And then the hope leads eventually, probably concurrently, I mean to the same time, just in case, the same time, it leads to God's love pouring into your heart. Why? Because you're believing in God. You're persevering. You're building character. Hope comes in. And you feel the pleasure and love of God in your life. I want to suggest, if you're going through a tough time, this list is your best friend and should be for the rest of your life. Whatever happens in your life. And when you meet people who you know are struggling, you need to whip this little thing out on your phone or your notes, whatever you've done it, and say, can I just take you through? This is how God teaches. Or even, this is a good list, because it's just a good list of how to deal well with what you're going through. Because, and you can say it stinks, because suffering stinks, hardship stinks, death stinks, illness, it's all horrible. It's not the way God intended, it's due to sin, but it's horrible. There is a way to succeed through it and actually come out the other side stronger, better, more able to enter into all that God has for you. And as you do that, then your foundations get built even more. Is that good? Oh, I might not finish it all. It'll be out on podcast. Or you have to come back next Sunday morning. My second list for good times. Try that again. List for good times. Hooray. Excellent. Sometimes called the ladder of faith by theologians, but let's call it a list of good times because it fits with my message. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. As we go through it, note the same foundational principles, which you can ping back on, please, Steve, that Peter mentions. It says this. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ has received a faith that is as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus, our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Just put number 4. Foundation principles, God has given us all divine power. So I don't know if you've left some spaces, but number 4 is that God helps us divinely in any and all situations. And Peter recognized that. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Peter says, basically, God's promises are true and certain in your life. Therefore, you will win. So foundation principle number 5 is this. You will win in Jesus. Which is pretty cool. Pretty cool to me. Thank you. Then on to the list. For this reason, then, says Peter, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, add to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these things in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive, or they will help you be effective and productive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there you have the 5 foundational principles found in the 2 things to make these lists work. Right, you ready for the next list? Is that good? I'm not going to finish it, so don't panic. Because that won't wait. So Peter writes, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Every effort, human effort, an author wrote, is indispensable in the Christian life, even though it's totally inadequate. Which, did he get a chance to read it again? Hello, back row, are you still with me? Back row, are you still with me? Yeshua, Jace. Still awake. That's a good sign from you. Human effort is indispensable, says one author, even though it's totally inadequate. I.e., God does everything, but God doesn't expect us to give everything we can into the equation. And oh yes, no, I must tell you this. This is fascinating. Right. For this reason, it says make every effort to add. Now, the word add is fascinating, isn't it? Are you fascinated by the word add? Can I make it even more fascinating for you? This might be the end of my message, and then I'll get Andy up, I think, and I'll do the list next week. So this word add is epicharego in Greek. Yes, that's pronounced terribly. It's not, it's terrible. I can't pronounce English words, never mind Greek ones. But it has a fascinating history. You see, this word was invented, so the books tell me, from the Athenian drama festivals way back in history. So Athens used to have drama festivals in their big theatres. And what used to happen was rich individuals, called something very complicated, were asked to pay for part of the production. They called choregos, people, persons. Does sound good, doesn't it? Anyway, they were asked to pay for this. They got nothing out of it, apart from to pay for it. Well, people knew they'd pay for it, but they didn't get anything else out of it. And then the poet who wrote them would add money into the thing, and then the state would add into this kind of money. And these people used to really want to support these things. And they were incredibly expensive. So they paid for the training of the choirs, they paid for the stage and all that. Just imagine, put a big stage event up in Manchester, in a big theatre. How many tens, hundreds of thousands might that cost? And these rich Athenians wanted to do it to kind of support the thing, get the name, whatever, out there. And they really added a lot to the thing. And this is what this word means. To add into something that's is an expensive ad, and something that takes, they call it costly cooperation addition. You see, when Paul says, I want you to add, Peter says this, the people reading have gone, I know what this word means. It's one of those dudes who spent lots of money supporting dramas. It was a really costly ad. And if we're going to get the best out of this, it will be a costly ad, something you'll have to work at, something you'll have to add some money into. You know, conferences, training days, they're expensive, aren't they? That's okay. Fork out for them. I mean, seriously, if you want to do something you can't afford it, then come and see one of the pastors and we'll see if we can help you, because we're committed to helping you train, to develop. But it will cost you something. You might have to sacrifice to make these things happen. And Peter says, add these things. Faith. I haven't got time to do it all, have I? Are you all going to good to come back next Sunday morning? The Blackpool guys, I will do it when I come to Blackpool. To the Blackpool guys, I will do it. I'm coming in 2 weeks, I think. In 2 weeks' time, I will do the second half for you. Is that okay? You'll have to tell the rest of the Blackpool congregation the first half in between times. Go on. You can share the podcast if you want. Hey guy, I just want to say that from both Michelle and I, we love you all amazingly. We think each one of you is incredible. And it's our desire this year that you may succeed in every single area of your life. And if you are, if suffering is part of your life, if there's stuff going on in life that really hurts, take the first list and begin to live in it and to operate in it. Go back to the rejoicing. Don't skip the first step. Go back to rejoicing, then go down the track. And it will lead you to hope and into God's arms and into his love. And for the rest of you, come back next week and we're going to do the second half.